and welcome to Nebraska Prep Zone Report, a podcast from the Omaha World Herald for you. I'm your host, Jake Anderson. Joining me, as always, World Herald prep recruiting expert Mike Sauter. How you doing today, Mike?
I'm good. Expert might be a little much, but I'm good.
Well, that's the tagline they gave me for you.
No, it's specialist, I think, is the word they said.
Specialist. All right.
That was given to me. I don't know any better. So.
Well, I'm here with the specialist, and we have games to watch for week two of Nebraska high school football. We have two games for each class, and one of them I'm going to save for our prospect watch segment, Creighton Prep at Omaha Central. But let's kick things off in Class A, Omaha Burke Millard West. Last week, Burke obviously had the not quite controversial win, but they held off Lincoln Southeast
16-14,
and mm-hmm. Millard West shut out Millard North 30-0.
Right, and then last year, Millard West they played each other twice, and Millard West fell to Omaha Burke twice, a lot closer in the playoffs than it was the second time around. So those two, I guess, battling each other to go 2-0. Millard West feels like there's a little payback that they have. That they're looking for, and we'll see if they can actually get that done. So if they do, more power to them. They still have a pretty tough schedule. I think they have Millard South next week or in week four. I can't remember. It's coming up. And Burke clearly is working on sort of – it's not a rebuild by any means, but they had to replace a lot. And that first game, that Thursday night game, was a big one, and here's another one backing that up. So – it should be an entertaining game, to say the least.
Well, both teams entering with a 1-0 record, what can we expect? Who will leave as the victor? I know you don't do predictions, but what's most likely to happen out of this one?
Millard West is going to – both teams are going to try and control the line of scrimmage by running the ball. Millard West and the matchup I guess I look for is Dallas Beanham and Xavier Watts. Beanham will probably, I'm guessing, play corner against Watts, and both of them are kind of two-way players. That's kind of fun, kind of looking ahead. You look on the lines, both are kind of revamped, if you will, lines, both offense and defense. But the one edge that Millard West probably has is quarterback. You have Reed Burke at quarterback. For Burke, still kind of learning the system, new to the system there. But Tristan Gomez at Millard West has been, the starter basically all of last year. And then coming back this year and had a great opening game against Millard North in a big kind of hostile environment. So those are kind of the keys, I guess, or what you kind of look for. Watts is going to produce some numbers. Look for Jalen Roussel to get it going also for Omaha Burke. He had a good game. It wasn't, fantastic or anything, but he was fine. He was more than good against Lincoln Southeast. So you look for them to kind of battle it up him to ratchet it up a little bit and maybe get some more yards, get in the end zone, stuff like that.
And Xavier Watts obviously had the game-saving play, you could call it, last week, the neutral zone infraction that negated the game-winning field goal and helped push Burke to that 16-14 win. He also did, on a high note, he had a touchdown last week. That was obviously huge for Burke.
And 10 tackles defensively is pretty awesome.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to Class B here. And leading things off, it's our game of the week, Scott at Roncalli.
Yeah, Scott Roncalli is the Pinnacle Bank game of the week. I'm really looking forward to that. It's at Roncalli. The best concession stand in the state, no question about it.
Well, we know what you look for.
No, it is. But the two quarterbacks obviously are key, and both of them are extremely experienced. You have Tyson Gordon, one of the, I guess, more versatile or better athletes in the state overall, and then Jack Dulser for Omaha Roncalli. Gordon does everything, like we've said. He returns. He's the quarterback, plays safety, kicks field goals, kicks off, punts. I mean, he's on the field the whole time. He had a heck of a run last week, kind of zigzagged the field for a long touchdown run against Bennington. And Dulcer just kind of makes plays. He's I call him diminutive. I don't know if mm-hmm. that's the right term. But he kind of just is will always keep you in the play, which is good. So he throws it pretty well. Their offense is set up for him to succeed. They can roll him out and even do a wide receiver screen type things, which is a little different. You know, last year they played and Scott pretty much handled them. So I think this game could be a lot closer. One of the keys is Omaha Scott's line, I think, probably has an advantage. They're a little bigger, more experienced and all that. Blake Anderson and Nolan Gorsica are two linemen that if they match up against each other, they kind of do play both ways. If they match up against each other, I think it'd be a really good game. They're a really good matchup. Inside the game.
Scott's, the game inside the game.
Yeah, the game inside the game. And Scott's the champ until someone beats him. And Roncalli is going to be geared up. I'm sure there's going to be a ton of people at that game and people looking forward to that one for sure.
And being at home obviously can't hurt. You know, best concessions in state, home field advantage right there.
Right.
Our next Class B matchup, York at Blair. Last week, York defeated Alliance 30-9, and Blair defeated Plattsmouth 21-14. What can we expect out of this one?
Yeah, maybe a little closer. Maybe Plattsmouth is probably better than what we think. There's a little closer, I guess, in the score than I think what I expected and maybe some others. But, Blair, York traveling to Blair, it's always kind of – it's a little bit of a distance, nothing crazy. They're used to going places. It's not out of the ordinary. But they do have one of the better kind of junior players in the state at Blair, Dexter Larson. He had 162 total yards and two touchdowns last week. He caught some balls and rushed really well. I think he also had eight tackles on the defensive side. So he's a dynamic player for Blair. And opposite him, you have Jacob Diaz at running back and linebacker. Really like him as a running back for York. And then Brian Rodriguez is another defensive lineman, or I guess he's defensive end, that kind of makes plays too for York. So York's going to be well coached. They both are well coached. We'll see. You know, it'll be a pretty good matchup. I think York's probably a little underrated, in my opinion, to start the year. I think they're going to be pretty good. They'll probably be better as the year goes on. That's the ultimate goal of everyone. But in particular, I think they will, just because they have so much kind of inexperience. They lost so much last year's team. But it should be a good one up in Blair on Friday night.
And then C1, we have a couple games here. Kearney Catholic at Aurora.
Aurora, you know, suffered a loss against Adams Central last week, and that was a little bit not shocking. It was the 1-4, I guess, preseason matchup, so you'd expect it. But preseason ratings are a little bit kind of subjective. But Aurora's still going to be good, and even if Kearney Catholic beats them and they start 0-2, Aurora is going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, health is kind of a concern for them a little bit, and losing Baylor Shireman was a big deal. That kid was really good. So they're still got Cade Morrill at running back, and they're fine. Nate Borkature is another player, and at tight end and linebacker that I like a lot. So they'll be good.
Kearney Catholic does pose a challenge.
Last week they had four interceptions,
three sacks, five hurries, 56-7 win against Broken Bow.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge number. I mean, defensively, that's going to be the challenge. Aurora only scored, 7 points last week, and it looks like you're going against a pretty salty defense again this week. Not sure, we don't know how good Broken Bow is, probably just okay. But it's going to be a challenge for Aurora to move the ball against that Kearney Catholic defense, it looks like. So they do kind of throw it around a little bit at Kearney Catholic. So that's obviously something else to keep an eye on. I think both teams would like to throw the ball.
And our second matchup here, Lincoln Lutheran at Wahoo Newman. Last week, Taylan Pospisil for Newman had 151 total yards against Boys Town. David Lilly rushed for 114 yards, three touchdowns. What are we looking for out of this one?
Yeah, Lutheran had a nice win over Concordia, and Newman handled Boys Town. Not sure how good Boys Town is this year. 2 years ago, they were pretty good. And last year, they kind of took a dip a little bit. So not really sure. But, you know, Taylan Pospisil coming back from being injured. He missed a lot of the summer and a lot of the spring and some basketball, too, with an ACL. So or a hurt knee. And getting him back and healthy will help all their sports for sure. He's a good athlete. And Newman, you know, new coach this year. They kind of handled Lincoln Lutheran last year. I remember going to that game. That was Coach Terman's milestone win and all that. I remember going down there. I think it was a Thursday night game. And they handled them pretty well. So, but there was a lot of kind of buildup. The game was supposed to be close and all that. So mm-hmm. We'll see. You kind of got to give an edge to Newman a little bit. One, it's at home. And two, just based off of last year's result. You know, how much has changed? This is the question.
All right. Before we hit C2 and the rest, let's take a minute here and thank our sponsor, Look Architectural Coatings. They specialize in those commercial wall and glass graphics. Look is your pioneer in developing breathtaking decorative solutions for any environment. And I know, Mike, you're a huge fan of them.
Yeah. You know, if you just look at their, Look Coatings, their Facebook page, they have some beautiful kind of graphics and stuff they put together. So, you know, Mike's a good guy and we're thankful to them for sponsoring the show.
Definitely. C2, we have a couple matchups here. Norfolk Catholic at David City Aquinas and Oakland Craig at Hardington Cedar Catholic. What can we expect out of these?
Norfolk Catholic and Aquinas, one of those teams is going to go 0-2 to start the year. Kind of surprising for both those teams if you look at it. I mean, you have Aquinas lost to SCOTUS, but playing up a level, I guess, if you will, or up a class, C2 versus C1. And then same thing, Catholic, and lost to Pierce, who Pierce is going to be really good in C1. So, but both those teams going to be – one of those teams is going to be 0-2, and that's a little surprising. I did see – you know, something where Jeff Beller from Norfolk Catholic said, hey, we might be off to a slow start, but we're just going to get better. They lost a lot off last year, and we'll see just how good both of those teams are. It should be a close game. It kind of always is. It's a little bit of that rivalry. Same thing with last week. Both those schools had sort of rivalry games. So, they're both going to try and run the ball. I don't know if they're going to even attempt to pass. but that's just the nature of the beast out there.
All right. And then 8-man-1, we have Bruning Davenport Shickley, BDS, at Elmwood Murdoch.
Yeah, Elmwood Murdoch had an upset last week. So Stu, I know, bumped them up into the rankings this week. So BDS is always good. And then Howells Dodge at West Point Guardian Angels. That's a rivalry game, real close to each other, and Guardian Angels is looking for a bounce back kind of win after being ranked third in the preseason, lost in their first game. So I know that's kind of a I put that game in there because it's just that kind of regional-ish, northeast-ish, I guess call it northeast Nebraska, sort of eight-man rivalry that those teams are close to each other.
A couple perennially good teams, good gauge where they're at, week two as well. 8-man-2, we have a couple matchups, and then 1-6-man. For 8-man-2, Falls City Sacred Heart at Lawrence Nelson, Bloomfield at O'Neill St. Mary's, and then in 6-man, Humphrey Lindsay Holy Family at McCool Junction.
I tell you, the 6-man, so Humphrey Lindsay Holy Family, they won the boys state basketball title last year, and then football, they got a chance to do it this year, and they got a chance to do it in basketball again. So just because they didn't lose a whole lot, I mean, their three best players are the twins and the older brother suits, so they got a chance to make some headway here as far as traditionally with their school and winning titles.
Good talent down there. Next up, we have our prospect watch. A little bit different than last week. We'll be highlighting a couple kids from each class, kind of who had the standout performances last week, and then looking forward. So first for 2020, your number 4 prospect, Isaac Gifford from Lincoln Southeast. Another rivalry game. They faced Lincoln Southwest on Friday. Last week, he had the 24-yard touchdown. He was also on the sidelines for the Huskers' win over South Alabama.
Right. He You know, Isaac is a kid that I think Nebraska is just kind of waiting to see. I don't think he's the number one on their board as mm-hmm. far as what – I don't even know if they know what position, whether it be safety or linebacker. Probably got to be safety, I think. But I think they're just kind of waiting to see if they can get a commitment from maybe someone else or not. And in the meantime, he's going to go take another trip to Wyoming. He has an offer from there. So he's not going to just sit around and wait either.
Yeah.
And I don't blame him. So he's a phenomenal athlete, really good football player, good leader, everything you kind of look for. He's just 6 foot and not 6'3 or 6'4. That's really it.
Yeah. You were at the game last Thursday. Yeah. I know you were impressed by what
he
did.
Yeah,
he
caught that nice wheel route. I mean, I was like, whoa, that's a tricky play, and it worked. And he cramped up a little bit, missed some time. And mm-hmm. that stuff happens in the early season, especially for a dude that's like as built as he is. He's got mm-hmm. a lot of muscle, so there.
Yeah, our photographers had a nice shot. It was a nice over-the-shoulder catch on that wheel route.
It was good.
Next up, we have your number 7 prospect, Ty Hahn. I wanted to give a little love to the guy from Johnson Brock. Mm-hmm. This week he plays Meade. I know it's 8-man football, but last week he had 9 receptions, 141 yards, 2 touchdowns, and added 5 tackles.
Yeah, but his team still gave up 72 points or something like that. But Ty, you know, going into the year, we knew he was the only kind of senior coming back. Mm-hmm. He's going to have to put up ridiculous numbers in order for them to be competitive this year. They just lost everything. And Caden Glenn left. He's now at Beatrice, so that hurts.
Yeah.
But for him to do that, certainly they're going to need that production probably every week for them to be competitive.
All right, 2021. Let's start with your number 4 prospect, A.J. Rollins, the Omaha Creighton Prep tight end. This week they face Omaha Central. He had 2 receptions for 53 yards last week's win over the Vikings, Omaha North. Mm-hmm. What can we expect this week?
Yeah, he's AJ is a guy. So Nebraska offered, Iowa State offered after that. He had virtually little to no production last year as a sophomore at tight end. So when Nebraska offered him, everyone was like, what? Like, you look up the stats, you're like, wait, there isn't anything there. But AJ is, he's playing both ways. He's playing some defensive end and tight end. He has his 2 catches were great. Mm-hmm. They were clutch plays. One was on a long 3rd down, came across the middle, made a couple guys miss, broke a tackle. And then that was his 2nd catch. His 1st catch, he set them up real nice and took down to like the 2. Again, kind of just a slant across the middle. Quarterback saw him, caught it. Made a move and got down, almost scored. Probably could have, maybe with a little extra effort, but he's a super intriguing prospect, no question about it. And we'll see. You know, he should have a decent or a pretty big game, I would say, against Central.
And what, real quick, since that was one of your games to watch, let's touch mm-hmm. on that. Junior Jays against the Eagles last week. Central had a big win. What overall from this matchup intrigues you?
I mean, so it's two, it's back-to-back sort of rivalry games for Central. Central handled Benson, and then, you know, now they have Prep. And handling, I guess, staying with Prep's line, specifically if Central can hold up on the offensive line, because Prep can just run like 10, 12 dudes at you if they want to on the defensive line. And they have a young – Deshaun Woods is a very young, talented tackle for them, for Central. And they're going to have to hold up. There isn't a lot of depth there on either side of the line for Central. And I think that, you know, Prep's going to try and run the ball, which they tried to do against North and kept trying and trying, which is they're going to keep hammering it. It's just a matter of can Central's line hold up? Can they stop them enough? Can they get it off the field? I'm just not sure. I mean, I think the matchup's pretty good for Central on the back end. Abe Hoskins is the quarterback and defensive back. They have some other really quick dudes on the back end. And offensively, For Central, they have talented athletes at the skill positions. It's just, can they get them the ball, enough time to get them the ball and move the ball? So, you know, Mason Armstead, I look for him to probably have a decent game against Central. We'll see kind of how they use him. I would imagine they would move him maybe in the slot a little bit, get him going. He had a nice game against North, but he could be in line to have a big game against Central.
All right, and let's wrap things up with Millard South quarterback TJ Urban. Last week he had a big game. Patriots didn't really need much as they took down Gretna. Isaiah Harris also had a big game there. 151 yards, total offense, and a touchdown. This week they have Lincoln Pius the 10th on a Thursday night.
Yeah, Thursday night game is Millard South Pius. You would expect Millard South to roll in that game just based off of last week's results. Lincoln East beat, I think, shut out Pius. So Millard South, you would imagine to have another kind of put up some numbers like that with TJ and Isaiah and Chase Pertrell and that core of guys, I guess. Look for them to have another good game.
And one other item of note out of the 2021 class, your number one prospect, Devontae Dickerson. He was a little bit limited with a hamstring, only played defense right last week, had one tackle. We'll see if he can do a little bit more this week. And you'll be able to track how all the prospects fared this week, their performances, who they have coming up next on NebHSRecruiting.com. We'll compile Sauter's top 10 for each class, 2020 and 2021. We'll have that as well as your game of the week coverage. And I'm sure you'll be somewhere on Thursday.
Yeah.
Follow Mike on Twitter at Mike Sauter OWH. Be sure to check out omaha.com/subscribe if you haven't already. This is the time of year. Husker football coverage, 4 or 5 articles every day. Mm-hmm. Sauter has at least 2 articles every day. He doesn't sleep. He's just churning out content. Be sure to check us out anywhere you get your podcasts. Until next time, thanks for listening.